Hey guys, this is Juan with the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Letting you know this episode is brought to you by San Marcos Mexican Restaurant, located right here at 2301 Southwest 59th Street in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Give them a call at 405-685-7773 for to-go order, or check them out in person as they have $5 margaritas every Wednesday. House margarita, $5 on Wednesdays. Don't forget to mention the Cinnamon Movie Podcast sent you and get 10% off your entire purchase. Great food and even better customer service. It's the only dine-in restaurant of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Do you bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
May the Schwartz be with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the Force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What's up, film fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome to episode 293. Welcome to True Lies and welcome to a new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I am your host, Juan, and I'm joined by the cast, crew.
You like that, old man?
The guys. Zach?
Well, maybe if my mic was unmuted. How's everybody doing tonight?
What up, Jay?
How's it going?
You feel any older?
Oh, after you go past 40 years old, man, it's all downhill from there, man. I'm 42 years old. I'm 42 years old today, and it feels like it. If you didn't know, everybody, I'm spending my birthday with y'all so we can discuss True Lies. I was a little drunk earlier, but you know what? I said, fuck it. Let's do this.
Hey, True Lies, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can just, that's how you can tell us about the truth serum later, like later on in the film when Arnold gets the shot with the truth serum. So we're here hanging
and we're
out.
All happy. Bad guys.
They were all bad guys. Welcome to a new episode. We're here, episode 293. We're just a few episodes away from our live screening of the Return of the Earth, not the Return.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, the George A. Romero movie. Just a few weeks away from a live screening. Yeah. Zach will have more information on that a little bit later on. Last week, if you guys did not join us, take a look back. We had a pretty fun discussion about Aquaman and the DC universe and Zack Snyder. And so it was pretty fun, even though a lot of us were kind of regretting trying to rewatch that movie. Yeah. A lot of us wouldn't want to watch it, but it ended up being a pretty fun discussion. So go back. You can check out those links to the new episode at the social medias, facebook.com/ the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X is at cinnamon405. And you can send us some emails at cinemen921@gmail.com.
Don't be bashful. We like to hear from you.
Especially if whether it's good news, bad news, tell us how we're doing.
You can tell us we suck for all we care. We'd be happy with it.
That's true. we've had some of those. Those are some fun criticism emails right there. Zach, you look like you're about to say something about Aquaman.
No, it was just one of those. The movie was shitty, but it was a fun conversation. So every so often we come across those, and those are great episodes.
Few and far between.
Real fun episodes. But let's get into some conversation. Zach, you have anything that you recently checked out or want to recommend to anybody?
Yeah, just two things. I'm starting to watch Justified, the Timothy Olyphant show that was on FX. I got through the first season. You can watch it on Hulu. The first season was very much a procedural bad guy of the week. He's got to catch him, run down. He's a U.S. deputy marshal. I think as the series goes on, I think there's actually like a central bad guy to each season. So I'm looking forward to season two. And then today I went and saw the new Guy Ritchie movie, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Really fun movie. I really had fun with it. It doesn't, honestly, it doesn't feel like a Guy Ritchie movie, to be honest. But I had a great story. It was based off true events. Yeah. So check out Justified on Hulu and go see the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Didn't Justify the show that I can't pronounce his last name, that Timothy decided to do after Deadwood?
Yeah, Timothy Olyphant, yeah. And then just last year, they did like a spinoff version, Justified City Primeval, so.
Is he in that as well?
Yeah. I think it's him, but it's like a completely new setting, completely new character. So it's just, they take the character and just put him in like a larger city, I guess you
different
could say.
Different scenario.
Yeah.
You know, I recently, you know, Timothy Olyphant is, I think, super, super underrated. But he's got some pretty fun stuff that he does. And it's almost like even if you're not interested in what he might do, it ends up being like pretty good.
A little bit of trivia for you both, since I've been trying to get you on the Office kick. He's in 3 episodes of The Office.
Oh, is he really?
He really is. He plays one of the best salesmen on the team for another company, and they hire him on to the Dunder Mifflin.
Okay. Well, something to look forward to. And wasn't he in Scream 2?
Scream 2. Yeah. Mickey.
Guy Ritchie, though, he's low-key one of my favorite directors. I don't care what he usually does, whether I go check it out in the movie theater or buy it. I usually at least check out something he's done.
You say
I'm excited to see what you think about it.
You say it didn't look like a Guy Ritchie movie, but just judging from the trailers that I've seen, it very much resembles a Guy Ritchie movie.
The trailer does, but the movie, like, you know how it's like his visuals are like really, really fast, like kind of fast movie.
Yeah.
It's not like that in this movie at all, to be honest.
They linger.
Yeah.
Yeah, Guy Ritchie's the man. He even made Aladdin doable.
Yeah.
A whole new world.
Yeah. I'll kind of run off some stuff that I ended up rewatching this week. I did go check after the episode last week. I did go check and watch Civil War again.
What'd you think?
You know, the second time around, man, it's just a really, it's creepier. It's freaky. It's, you know, it feels like it's just like, wow, it's hitting home, especially close to some of the areas that are here. But watching it a second time, you really enjoy more of the visuals that the director is telling, or some of the storyboard that Kristen Dunst is just unbelievable again the second time around. Like, yeah. And then the small nuances.
Could she be an Academy Award nominee?
I don't know if you go that far, especially with it just being April. But to me, like, if
the Oscars were tomorrow, she'd win.
If that performance can linger for another 10 months, I don't see why she shouldn't be nominated.
Yeah.
And then I do agree with some of the reviews about this is probably one of the only movies that can compete with Dune as far as cinematography and sound.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, again, highly recommend it.
Did the pacing get a lot better on the second watch?
Yeah, it flew by the second time compared to the first. Because the second time you're just waiting for these cool events to happen, and then it just goes by it goes by super quick. Checked out True Lies again for the episode, and then the Walt Disney version of the Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, Wish.
Got old James Avery in it.
Yep. The new Disney movie Wish. You know, a lot of people are trashing on
bad about that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people are trashing like the animation of that movie, but it feels like they're just doing something different. Like it almost feels like it's not hand illustrated, but it feels like they're going in the Spider-Man universe way.
I think because this was actually the movie that this was the one, well, not the 100th movie, but the for the 100th celebration of Disney, this is the movie that they came out with. When you watch it, in my opinion, it feels very much like they're trying to do like the old classic animation and still do like the CGI animation. So
like the new Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
Well, see, all the problems that I've heard of the movie is that the movie's disjointed and the plot's just all over the place. But that's just what I've read. I haven't seen it yet, but that's just the reviews that I've read.
I mean, it kind of does feel a little all over the place, but it's not a terrible movie by all means. There's definitely worse Disney animated movies out there. And then I checked out Night Swim today, Zach. You kind of didn't recommend it.
No,
but that was your first movie that you saw. It wasn't
in your review for that.
Yeah. It wasn't very good. But it also it wasn't terrible though. Like I kind of feel like if there was just a few tweaks here and there, like it probably could have been a pretty cool little horror movie. Like there's so much potential on what the story base was that it was. So
I felt like it was like we had a good idea, but we just didn't execute it to what it could have been.
It's going to be a little bit till we talk more Blumhouse, but what do you just think? Like when they're putting out movies like that, they have their own little Blumhouse cinematic open now, kind of like the MCU does. Like it feels like they're really trying to build something, but they have more hits than misses, or they have more misses than hits.
Yeah, I agree.
So, if I had to recommend anything, just because of how easy it is to get to, go check out Wish on Disney Plus. Or you can check out if you want to know. I physically bought Night Swim, but that's also up on Peacock. Again, I'm still gonna hit go see Civil War in theaters. Jay, what about you? Did you check anything out?
I checked out more Family, Modern Family. I made it from season 3 to 6, and it's starting to get pretty good. Where all the kids are starting to get older, you know, they can be involved in more of the storylines. You know, the kids are driving. Mm-hmm. So, if you've never watched the show, give it a chance. If you have watched the show, you know how good it is.
Modern Family. What are you rewatching that on? Is it on Netflix?
It's on Peacock.
Peacock. Cool. Okay. Let's get ready to dig into today's movies. But first, Zach is going to talk about
Rodeo Cinema. As always, like here on the show, we want to give out recognition to some of our great sponsors, Rodeo Cinema being one of them. OKC's independent, non-for-profit theater, showing new movies, old movies, and everything in between. Available, you can also rent spaces, rent the theater for public or private events. There's two historic locations. The one that we always go to is in the Stockyards, 2221 Exchange Avenue in Filmborough, which is the downtown location at 701 West Sheridan Avenue. They've got some great, great events coming up. Currently, they're showing After Sun, Sasquatch Sunset, and Monkey Man, the new Dave Patel movie produced by Jordan Peele. And don't forget, guys, May the 3rd, we're going to do a live show there. We're going to show the 1968 classic zombie film. Some say the first zombie film, Night of the Living Dead from George A. Romero. Come watch the show and then hang out with us as we do a live show and talk about the movie.
And that's going to be at the Film Row location on 700 West Sheridan in downtown.
Yes, thank you.
Please join us.
Plus, absolutely, all that and more. And tell them that the Cinema Movie Podcast sent you.
Because if you tell them that, we'll get more movies at the rodeo.
More movies. Let's dig into what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about True Lies, directed by James Cameron, with a release date of July 15th, 1994. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, The Extreme, Tia Carrera, Charlton Heston is in there as well. And with a $100 million budget, it grossed a little over $380 million at the box office. When he said, "I do," he never said what he did. A fearless, globe-trotting terrorist battling secret agent has his life turned upside down when he discovers his wife might be having an affair with a used car salesman while terrorists smuggle nuclear warheads into the United States. Let's talk about it. Jay, we'll start with you.
Can I start off? I seen this in theaters in September of 94, and I was blown away. I didn't know what to expect going in. I was just sitting there thinking, oh, it's the normal Arnold fare. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. I never knew the fun movie to be that funny.
What was it kind of like revisiting it for the episode?
Oh, it was like visiting an old friend.
Zach,
bathroom
scene was pretty good. Zach, what about you? You know, when we first talked about doing this movie, to me it was really a first time watch for me as well. What was it like for you?
Yeah, this was the first time watch. I think I'd seen an hour of this movie. I don't know. We did a top five Arnold movie list way back in the day, maybe for Terminator 2 or something like that.
So I
wanted to get as much of his movies in before we did the list, and I started watching it but never finished it. I'll just be honest, I didn't like it. I'm being
blown. So
like I said, I'll probably be the jerk on this episode, but yeah, it really wasn't for me.
Well, but okay, before we get any further, what made you not like the movie? Was it the comedy? Was it the action? Was it just the way the things went down?
I think it's the tone. I think it wanted to be like, I was explaining to Johnny when we went and saw Civil War, we were talking about it. I said, this feels more like a Michael Bay movie than a James Cameron movie, in my opinion. So, like,
you went in wanting it to be something it wasn't.
Yeah. I just thought, and maybe just because of the cheese aspect or the cringe, I just thought it was real cringy, in my opinion. So
I didn't find it cringy whatsoever, because I guess I grew up with it. One of my favorite things is that Arnold Schwarzenegger, his most frequently used line in the movie is sorry. Because he's riding by on horseback and he's sitting there telling people, sorry, sorry.
Yeah,
that's funny.
He's getting in the elevator with them. Sorry.
We'll dig into it. Yeah, this was kind of my first full-time watch as well. I had seen bits and pieces of it growing up and years ago. But we'll also talk on why it never hit Blu-ray until now. And that's one of the main reasons why I'd never seen it. I usually just like to buy all my movies and check it out then. And it never, ever, ever, ever hit Blu-ray.
I had it on my Vudu account and SD mode.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, let's kick off the episode with that. Is that really the reason why we never got a Blu-ray
Avatar
release of it? Because he was just working so much on Avatar?
Exactly. That was his whole point. He didn't want to sit there and take away from the Avatar sequels and everything like that, so that way he could go. Don't get me wrong, they were working on the films, but they never had James Cameron's approval. They were always working on them. They just never had his approval.
You guys can chime in. Is that how a re-release of a physical copy that's never hit high definition or 4K works? The director has to approve the restored version?
Nowadays, yes. Because they wanted the closest theatrical version as that they can possibly make it. Cinematography, everything.
Like when you buy Criterions and you see like approved by Martin Scorsese or whoever, that's what that is.
I got those, but I never thought like just a regular Blu-ray copy. I never thought those needed director.
Well, here's an example. Here's an example for you. Apocalypse Now, Francis Ford Coppola went through and all three versions of the movie, he went through and made sure they were all up to par to be released. And even Ridley Scott did that for Blade Runner.
Wow.
Yeah. I think this past year or this year, Cameron just redid all the movie, like Aliens, The Abyss, True Lies, Titanic. They all got like a 4K release.
Well, I got to say, after watching both copies this past week, the 4K and the Blu-ray copy, I and I've kind of read some as well. I didn't
Blu-ray think copy any, of what?
The Blu-ray copy of True Lies. Like okay. the 4K copy is, you know, is not as extraordinary as I thought it was going to be. It's almost like a little bit more.
A good transfer.
It's a decent transfer. It's almost.
I've read reviews on it that the they have plastic look to their faces, that things aren't all clear and dynamic.
And it kind of makes you wonder. You know, they didn't get an actual just fit plain Blu-ray copy. You got the combo pack, but the 4K copy just looks a little bit more crisper than the Blu-ray. Other than that, I don't see that big of a difference between the Blu-ray and the 4K copy. But let's tango. Let's talk about True Lies for a little bit. The opening almost has like a really big James Bond feel to it.
Well, that's what James Cameron wanted to go for. He never got a chance to direct a James Bond, so he figured, fuck it, I'm going to direct my own. And that's what True Lies is his homage to James Bond.
I really admire the comedy action part of the movie. Like, I kind of felt like, I was like, man, if this was just a pure action and trying to be serious all the time, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much as I did now.
Can we sit there and say that the scenes when they were chasing after Arnold after he'd been caught at the party, can we sit there and say how many times we've seen a stunt double? Like, come on now.
Yeah.
There was no.
I mean, it's kind of hysterical. Yeah.
I was going to say, including some of the scenes where he's riding the horse, there's almost no hiding the stunt double at all.
No. You know what? Another movie of Arnold's I appreciated after this came out was Eraser. Anybody ever see that one?
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
When we were talking top five Arnold movies, I think the one that stuck out to me besides Junior, which is, again, an Arnold classic, is Last Action Hero.
Oh, I love Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
It's so fucking meta.
Yeah. Last Action Hero was hysterical. Since we're plugging Arnold big time, I also request that you guys go see the Arnold documentary on Netflix if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
It's like a five-piece documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding.
Does it follow his time as Mr. Olympian and go on to his Hollywood career and everything?
It goes all the way to his childhood, about how abusive some of the stuff was going into the Olympics. I even think it talks about the housemaid and the
affair,
the affair. It's really, really in depth. And then a few months later, they came out with the Sylvester Stallone documentary, and his documentary was only an hour and a half. Arnold got this five-piece, huge documentary. So it also
he's done a lot of Rockies.
It also talks about their love-hate relationship.
Their feud.
Well, I did see that there's supposed to be a Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger sit-down meeting where they're both together and they're discussing their careers together on Netflix.
Yeah, on TMZ. Yeah, it's like a TMZ special.
Yeah, TMZ show. Yeah,
that'd be pretty fun. Let's get into some of the characters in this movie. Okay. What do we think about Tia Carrera, who plays Juno? She's the main villain.
Schwing.
Yeah. She's also in Wayne's World.
Exactly. That's why I said Schwing.
She's one of those 90s actresses that, like, after a few of her movies, you never saw her again.
She did a lot of made-for-TV movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's on a General Hospital at daytime, so.
Is she really?
Yep.
That's really crazy. Interesting.
Wayne Campbell's girlfriend's on Days of Our Lives or General Hospital.
Let's go into some of the other comedy aspects of the movie. What do we think of Tom Arnold as Albert?
Oh, dude, 10 out of 10 on that one. He fucking hits his marks completely.
I'll probably be the guy in the... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say he hits every mark like he's supposed to. He has this... I like the bond between him and Arnold, where whenever they're coming back from their mission at the beginning of the movie, and he's sitting there telling him, you're this, here's your passport, here's your wedding ring, here's a snow globe for your daughter. And he's like, well, what would I ever do without you? And that made me feel good. Like, oh, they're a couple.
It makes you kind of wonder, like, I feel like I'm the man in the middle. Zach, on the other hand, you look like you probably did not enjoy Tom Arnold in this movie.
I hate these type of movies because it's just like, is this the worst thing I've ever seen? No, but like I didn't enjoy watching it, so I don't really know how to talk about this. So it's just like.
So we know though, Zach has one James Cameron movie he can't stand.
And that's crazy because he loves Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton was a shit in this movie.
Mm.
You had a problem with Bill Paxton, didn't you?
Maybe that's why I'm so hurt. Maybe this is why I hurt this movie hurts me so much.
That's why.
No, that bit of him, like the bit of him trying to be the secret agent, that's probably one of the parts I did enjoy, I'll be honest. Maybe because it is Bill Paxton. I don't know, but like I think the biggest thing I've always thought, because I know James Cameron as a director and he's always like so on a large scale, and so I always heard about this movie as being like one of his big action movies. I guess I was just let down by it because it takes this like really weird left turn with the whole, which I know that's the point of the movie, but the whole left turn of like he thinks that Jamie Lee Curtis is having an affair. It's like what? It becomes like, okay, we're going to do this like terrorist action movie, but we're going to do this like
it's true really about comedy. Yeah, it's really about the husband and the wife in the long run. Exactly. Like if you look at it, it's really about them trying to rekindle their flame
relationship. Yeah, because whenever they sit there in the hotel room, whatever, he sits there and tells her to dance and shit. You know, it's
yeah. It was... The weird strip tease, you know. Mm-hmm.
Do it slowly. Do it decimally.
I mean, it is kind of funny. He has like a little like recorder behind the chair. It's like, now take off your top. It's like, okay.
Lay down on the bed.
Did you guys? And that's the thing that was kind of like, okay, this is kind of camera, like the chase. Horseback, motorcycle, and then it jumps like where it goes into the hotel. It's like the, you know, it's like you didn't jump. You know, it's just kind of
if you sit there and think about it logically, that horse would have never made that fucking jump. The horse was smart to stop.
Right. Let me be perfectly clear. I'm not judging this movie on a literal sense or like, well, that wouldn't happen. No, I know what kind of movie this is. It's just, I don't know.
Well, my favorite part is whenever the main bad guy shoots at Tom Arnold and that pole's between him and the pole catches all the bullets and he kisses the pole.
Oh, yeah. The bathroom scene was funny.
He's clearly wider than the pole.
Oh yeah.
You know what? I will say this. My first crush came from this movie, Elijah Dushku. Do you know who that is?
The daughter.
Yes, I fell in love with her, and then she started doing Buffy, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, she's hot." She was the same age as I was whenever the movie came out. She was 12 years old.
Oh, that's she's her. She's, wow.
She's 43. Yeah, she's 43 and she still looks pretty good.
I bet you love the Jane Silent Bob movie then.
I do. She was in Jane Silent Bob tearing shit up in lingerie.
Yep. Man.
She was an Angel. Buffy.
I thought you were going to say Tia Carrera.
No, Tia Carrera was in Wayne's World 1 and 2.
And she was the mom in the Stitch movie? I did not know that.
See, look at this. Discovering all kinds of shit.
Man. And this isn't really streaming on anything. You have to pay for it everywhere you go stream. Right? Yeah, you got to rent it on Hulu, Vudu. Mm-hmm. Maybe Hulu. It says Hulu. Probably just because it's a Disney movie now, technically.
Isn't that weird, Jay? Yeah. Which one is this?
I said True Lies is technically a Disney movie now.
Yeah, because it's 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
One thing that I always found cool about, I just lost my train of thought. Never mind, come back.
This movie was like, it's interesting because this is like Sam, like the early 90s for James Cameron, it was dominated by Judgment Day, True Lies, and Titanic. And each one of those movies had like a 3-year gap in between them. So you like, he was definitely dedicated for each movie in between that time.
But and what it, I find and then, cool like, is he, we got, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, and then like after Titanic, he didn't, it wasn't until 2009 when Avatar came out. That was his next movie.
Well, I'm going to find, I do find it fucking pretty spectacular that after he'd done a comedy, an action comedy, he went and produced the movie Titanic.
Yeah.
One of the biggest budgeted fucking love stories ever put on film.
And I mean, you got to, I mean, you really got to like hand it to the guy. He knows how to make a movie. He knows how to make it epic. He knows how to like tell a story. Whether or not, I mean, does his movies need to be 3 hours long? That's debatable. Yeah. But, you know, the way of the Avatar, Way of Water, I don't think that movie needed to be 2 hours. But, you know, it is
what it is. Let's not forget just not only Terminator 2, but The Abyss, the original Terminator. And some people call Alien one of the best sci-fi movies ever made, but he turned around and made one of the best sequels ever made. To where a lot of people think of Aliens as a superior film.
Did you ever hear how he sat there and sold that idea to the company? He went into 20th Century Fox and put Aliens and put a dollar symbol through the S, and that was it. They were like Aliens.
Well, and he was smart because it was just like, you know what? We can't replicate what Ridley Scott did with the first movie. So why don't we make this into a war action movie? And that was an awesome idea for the sequel.
And that movie still hits today, and it still seems very futuristic.
That's actually my next franchise I dig into. It's been a few months since I've dove into a franchise, but I think Aliens is the next one for sure.
Are you going to do versus Predator stuff?
Usually when I dive into a franchise, I'll do every single thing. So I'll probably do the two prequels, the Alien films, and then the two AVP movies.
And then you can go see Alien Romulus this August.
Yeah. It's funny that you guys say that. Titanic 97 and then nothing else until 2009.
Yeah.
Because he was working on that technology to make sure the 3D was good.
Yep.
We got to appreciate from a director at his standpoint. He could just be old and set in his ways and just be like, no, it should always be, you know, like the 80s, but he wants to evolve. He wants to make sure his shit looks as good as possible. Maybe he even inspired Zach, the movie theater director, talking about this last time we were at the movies together. Today's technology is even making directors like Steven Spielberg want to redo Jaws in today's limelight.
Well, what I noticed about True Lies is that it had a blue tint over the entire movie. Did you guys notice that?
Mm-mm.
I did on this watch. I noticed it. I noticed it really big on the Blu-ray watch, not the 4K watch though.
Yeah, it has a very blue tint to the film.
It's very big in the
because it's filmed at night, so they use the nighttime scenes.
In the striptease scene.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is whenever he gets that fucking jet and he goes after his daughter and shit.
Let's kind of talk about that. We'll get ready to talk about that. We talked about Tom Arnold a little bit. This is the first Arnold Schwarzenegger movie where he shares the co-star scene, where not only is it a Arnold Schwarzenegger name at the beginning of the movie, but you also see Jim Lee Curtis's name pop up at the beginning of the movie. First time he's ever done that. I don't think he's done that since. Shows how important he really knows how she is in this movie for him. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's the bond between the two of them that really sells the movie.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, one of the greater scenes I thought in this movie was the interrogation scene where, you know, him and Arnold in between the glass and Jamie Lee Curtis is literally spilling her guts like, no, I didn't sleep with Bill Paxton. I love my husband. It's just life has gotten, it's stalled out. It's dull. Stagnant. So, you know, that was one of the better scenes in my opinion. Yeah. You guys realize that, and I was going to jump off the point of what you said, Johnny, about James Cameron just taking a back seat. You realize he has $2 billion movies. Titanic, a $2 billion movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. He has three $2 billion movies. You realize that? He could retire right now and be like, I'm good.
If you adjust for inflation, the Terminator 2's got it as well.
Yeah. And to me, I think he could easily put up and say, hey, I got Titanic, I got two Avatar movies, and I'll put the Terminator franchise in there because I think collectively all those films are $1 billion. And so it's just like, yeah, I don't have to make movies. I love making movies. And I think that's what sets him apart as one of the greater directors.
Out of all the movies that he done, True Lies is the most different.
It's true. I agree.
It's not like it, because he has, you know, you have Aliens, Titanic, you know, and all that other shit that he done, Avatars. But True Lies is his most different film in his category.
Yeah,
I agree. It's a comedy.
Yeah, you're right, because I'm looking at his filmography, because Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, Terminator 2, those are all science fiction action films. True Lies
high concept. High concept.
True Lies is more like a action comedy, and then you got Titanic, which is a disaster drama. So, and he goes back to Avatar with science fiction.
Did he win Best Director for Titanic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Best director, best screenplay, best actor, all that shit.
Thing, not
best actor, best. Yeah, it was nominated for 14 Academy Awards.
Yeah,
and I think it won. I think it won 11.
I think. Yeah. And then Avatar 3 is supposed to come out Christmas next year, so we'll see.
Avatar 2, The Way of the Water. I actually enjoyed it. I'm not gonna lie. I thought it was pretty decent.
I might have to just rewatch it because on my first watch initially, I was just a little bored throughout the whole thing. But it doesn't help any that I watched the first one and then automatically put in the second one. I had like 7 hours of fucking Avatar.
Do you know what helps with Avatar?
A little bit of
get high.
Yeah, I was going to say. A little bit of medical situation.
Thank you. You hits out the fucking bong and you were like, I'm ready for some blue fucking monsters. Let's go.
Man, I gotta say my MVP of this movie, I know a lot of people want to talk about Jamie Lee Curtis. For this being his first full-length feature film, Tom Arnold had me rolling in this movie. I thought he was funny. He played really well off of Arnold. And then, you know, I gotta give some dues to what's his name? Grant Heslov, the guy who plays Faisal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guy that helps him download and everything.
Yeah, he's also in
a lot of movies. Yeah, he did a lot of shit after True Lies.
Yeah, he's in Congo, he's in Leatherheads, Enemy of the State, The Scorpion King, Dante's Peak. I gotta say, he is like the perfect
filmography.
Yeah,
and
that's just a few. He's a perfect sidekick to Tom Arnold.
Yeah, and he's also become like a producing and writing writing a producer partner with George Clooney, and he won an Oscar for Argo as being one of the producers on it.
Oh, wow.
That's cool. I always found Tom Arnold and True Lies just a small extension of his character off of Roseanne, because he played that same kind of character on Roseanne.
That's true. That's right. That's true. Yep. So it's kind of like an extension of the Roseanne universe, essentially.
Exactly. Roseanne's a part of the fucking True Lies multi cinema act. You know what I'm trying to say.
She's the ex-wife he was talking about in the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody.
What kind of bitch takes the ice trays out of the fridge?
Roseanne.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody about Tom Arnold today, and they were like, why are they no longer together? You know. She was married to Roseanne. I'm like, because it's Roseanne. That's probably just somebody you can't be married too long.
Not very long. Hell no. Not in the limelight they were in.
Oof. You know, that's funny. They had a small cameo appearance of in Freddy's Final Nightmare.
I know. I've seen that.
What?
Yeah. They were husband and wife in the final Freddy Krueger movie.
And Roseanne's all sitting there trying to hug up on the children. We're like, oh, please, can we keep one of them? And he's like, no, you know what they bring? They bring him.
But yeah, I really
look at us pulling out all this fucking trivia.
I want to talk some more about Bill Paxton because I think he's also somebody in this movie who's just
unnamable.
At first, when I'm first watching this, I'm like, wait a minute. I kind of remember him being like, you know, bullied at some point in the movie. And then I'm like, wait a minute, he's actually a fake spy or is he a real spy trying to get to Arnold?
No, he's a fake spy.
Yeah, and then I continue to watch it and I'm like, okay, this is a lot funnier than. And he uses it to pick up chicks.
To get ladies.
This like smarmy used car salesman that like he's going to make shit up in order to get laid. Yeah.
Can we look at some of this dialogue that's written for him? I'm talking about like the buttermilk scene where he's talking about the breasts and he wants to stand for buttermilk.
One of the most weirdest lines that I heard
is the 10-year-old boy?
12-year-old boy. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
What does that mean? I appreciate the fact, though, that him and James Cameron were long life friends and he continued to use Bill Paxton. Didn't matter what any movie he did.
I brought this up before, but Bill Paxton's the only one that's been killed by a Terminator, an Alien, and a Predator.
So we should have seen him die in Titanic, too.
He wasn't in Titanic, though.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, that's right, he was, but he was at the beginning.
But he wasn't part of the central story.
Yeah. When that bitch threw that fucking heart of the diamond in the river ocean, I was pissed.
He wasn't an avatar. He wasn't an avatar, which kind of surprises me.
Did he die before or after Avatar? He died after.
He died after Avatar.
He died of a heart. They were doing something for him. They were trying to put, surgery on his heart, and he ended up fucking kicking the bucket, and I felt bad. Man. Bill Paxton was my boy. I was hoping for a Twister sequel. He'd been trying to get one done for years. And now they're finally bringing one out in July, but it's supposed to be his daughter.
So you think?
I heard the Twisters has nothing to do with the original film. It's like its own spiritual sequel. Has nothing to do with the original.
I've heard that the daughter in the girl in it that plays the lead girl is Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt's daughter.
I think that'll be like the big twist of the twist. You know, that'll be like the big twist of it.
If so, there's got to be a picture or some kind of mention of the extreme, hopefully.
I'll be yelling at the theater if we don't.
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing. Bill Paxton was a shit in almost everything he done.
He really was. I mean, he was one of those character actors. When he popped up, I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know he was in this.
Yeah. Wasn't he also in, he did like a TV show of Training Day, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't remember. Which I've seen a couple of episodes that.
He was in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as the clairvoyant. He was the main bad guy in that.
Oh, cool.
He was in about a 10-12 episode run.
Wow.
Bill Paxton.
The scene where Arnold gets the shot and he starts just like laying the truth out there.
But they were all bad.
The Agent Doris thing with Jamie Lee Curtis is like, okay, now you're Agent Doris. She's like afraid to pick up the telephone every time it rings.
one of the scenes we have not given light to, and it took him forever to film, was the bathroom scene. That bathroom scene. It rivaled the Mission Impossible 6 bathroom scene.
I don't know. That Mission Impossible bathroom scene is pretty good.
That I will say that was one of the highlight scenes of True Lies is that bathroom scene.
You don't like you're fired and he kills the bad guy with a missile into another building.
Oh, yeah, but we haven't even started talking about some of the ending scenes yet. I think that if I had to pick something that may be a little bit of a letdown, but then rise back up, is there's two or three scenes in the movie where you're like, okay, that's the ending scene, we're done, but then another ending scene happens.
Well, he has to go get his daughter from the main bad guy.
Because at first you're
I mean, yeah, I mean, I would agree. That's another elongated action sequences because he rescues, he gets Jamie Lee Curtis out and he gets on the jet to save his daughter. So yeah, that's like two individual long
major
sequences.
Set pieces.
Yeah. So.
But here's the thing about the Jamie Lee Curtis scene. She fucking actually did that scene where they had her over.
Straight down.
Yeah,
she
they
was harnessed
had her
to the helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And they fucking pulled her up. And she, what you see when you see her dangling from that fucking height, that's really Jamie Lee Curtis pulling off that stunt.
Now, from what I heard, when he pulls her out of the limo, that was the stunt double. But whenever you're looking back and she's actually holding on with him through the helicopter and you see her face in the water underneath, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, she's really dangling.
What, a couple hundred feet in the air?
Yep.
This was kind of like a little career resurgence because at this point she had done obviously all the Halloween movies and the same year she had
Training Spaces.
Yep. My Girl 2 was that same year. And then,
oh, I love My Girl.
And then
those came out on Blu-ray.
And Halloween H2O was 4 years later. So
can we give a little bit of love to My Girl?
Yeah. Those are some good movies. Very underrated.
I fucking cried. I fucking cried when Thomas J. died.
Yep. The first one still gets me all the way. I haven't seen the. I bought the double pack on Blu-ray, and I'm like, man, I can't wait to watch these. I watched the first one, bald like a big ass baby, and then I haven't watched the second one yet.
Fucking Macaulay Culkin had to go back and get her glasses.
Is My Girl 2, is that like a direct sequel to the first one, or is it something different?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's a direct sequel where she goes to California to stay with her uncle, which is her dad's dad, brother, and she goes and stays in California to find her birth mother and all the stuff that she can find out about her birth mother, because people there were like, hey, we know your birth mother. We have some stuff for you that you might like to know, like videos and shit like that.
Oh, okay. That's when she... Is that when she meets? Is that when she does the
Austin O'Brien from
right? But she does the poet classes, right?
Hmm.
Or is that the first one still?
The which one?
When she does the poetry classes.
That's first one.
Okay, fuck, my bad. Yeah, then I just still have seen the first one. Those are some underrated movies, man.
I see My Girl in theaters.
Lucky.
Yeah. And we also have to remember she won an Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Anna Chlumsky and Jamie Lee Curtis.
She's in Borderlands later this year, but that's funny.
I thought the trailer to that looked pretty good.
She is
Eli Roth joint.
She's just an overall. Can we just say she's an overall badass?
She's a good actress. Yeah.
I liked her in Trading Spaces.
She was good in Trading Spaces.
Plus, you got to see her boobs in it. So, hey, that makes it even better.
And then just for her to come out and do stuff like Freaky Friday, Knives Out. She's just...
Knives Out was good.
Yeah.
I didn't find Freaky Friday to be...
Yeah, I like Knives Out.
Freaky Friday was the same as the rest of them.
Yeah. It's interesting.
So, at this point now, looking back at this movie, because this movie turns 30 years old this year.
Yep.
30 years old. True Lies. Looking back at this film and seeing Arnold and Jamie Lee Curtis 30 years later, they are exactly the kind of people that we thought they would be 30 years later.
Well,
good head on their shoulders.
30 years. This picture holds up. And my personal opinion, this picture holds up as an action comedy to this day.
Yeah. You look at some action comedies that come out, you know, some movies have tried to be True Lies even just 10 years ago. What's that movie with Chris Pine and Reese Witherspoon and Tom Hardy?
This Means War.
There's movies 10 years ago, 15 years ago, even today that try to be True Lies and they just can't get it right. So yeah, I agree. True Lies 30 years later holds up, and I mean, it had me laughing. So, But I like how the some of the pictures or some of the posters for this movie make it seem like it's just a hard ass action movie.
Yeah, it's not.
But it's not. Even in the poster that I used for the poster here, like Arnold's face there, it makes him look like this is just an overall hard ass action movie. And yeah.
It almost makes it look like a James Bond movie.
Yeah. Which is cool. I think this is the redo poster. I think the original poster had Arnold by himself holding a gun next to his face and a grenade between the True Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically it was a James Bond poster.
Yeah. But, and then I like the ending. You know, they restored their love and come to find out that their flame in their marriage, she just ended up being his secret. She's kind of like a secret agent too, right? Towards the end of the movie, kind of hinted like they were going to do some stuff together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
See, for the longest time, they wanted to do it, True Lies a too, sequel. But 9/11 happened and they didn't think it'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true because a lot of the terrorist attacks in the movie are a reflection of like those countries and that descent. So
we almost got a Forrest Gump 2 sequel, and that's the same reason why they didn't make it was because of 9/11.
I saw something like that though, where like, but supposedly, Tom Hanks was signed on and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Do you guys remember that movie he did in the early 2000s called The Sixth Day? You remember that?
Yes.
That's a good movie.
Where's the clone?
Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that.
A lot of people shit on End of Days, but I remember End of Days. How he's fighting like the devil.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Or it kind of feels like a Constantine movie.
Yeah. During the 90s, he had Total Recall, Kindergarten Cop, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Last Action Hero, True Lies, Junior, Eraser, Jingle All the Way, Batman and Robin, End of Days, and then The Sixth Day was 2000. Wow.
And let's say I've seen every single one of them.
It's time to cool off. And later in his career, Terminator, Expendables, Last Stand. I like The Last Stand. Genesis. Yeah.
You know, I recently did the Terminator franchise, and you know, neither one of those, you can sit there and say, yeah, this one's not as good as this one, but neither one of those, any of them, I feel like are a shit movie. Like I feel like they're all pretty decent action movies.
Even the Christian Bale one, what was it, Salvation?
Salvation to me was a really good apocalypse film, dude. Like it felt like a Terminator movie, but in some sense, it like also felt like a good end of the world kind of film too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll agree with you.
I remember liking Salvation. I haven't seen it in years though. Dark Fate, and I think we liked it pretty well.
Dark Fate was pretty cool. It was a good callback to, because it was supposed to be a straight sequel to the original, to Judgment Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people give Rise of the Machine shit, but I liked it as well. At the end of Rise of the Machines, you get the actual detonation going off.
Yeah, Judgment
Day.
Well,
I mean, I feel like, and if you listen to the director's commentary, it's actually quite interesting. That was really the only ending they could have done. Is the actual end of the world.
Yeah.
So we had to get there somehow.
But going back to True Lies, I mean, the escape, the machine gun, the gun falling down the stairs when Jamie Lee Curtis shots it off, and it's just like knocking people out. Flamethrowers, jet climax. Yeah.
I love the jet climax. Especially when he's standing behind Arnold and he's like, land this plane or I'm going to kill her. And then he just has that look in his face like,
doesn't he sit there and say, you're fired or something like that?
Did he?
Yes.
I can't remember. He's like, you're fired, and shoots a missile off into the building, into the helicopter.
And then Johnny, you kind of referenced it earlier, but the Tango finale where like Jamie Lee Curtis is all in and want to do the missions. Was the daughter in on it? Or is she just kind of doing her own thing?
I'm just doing her own thing.
She was being raised by Axl Rose and Madonna, remember? Jay, can you remember on that fateful day in September that you went and seen True Lies? And let's also, let's take a nod at this. True Lies came out in July. It's still in theaters when you go see it in September.
Yeah.
Do you remember the crowd size of that theater, or is it like, man, come on, I can barely remember the movie?
Oh no, it was about half full. Wow. I sat in the middle of the screen. I sat in the middle of the auditorium.
Wow. 2 months later, and it's still half full.
Yeah.
2 months in today's world, 2 months later, it ought to be on video demand.
Guys, I'm sad to say, like, 2 months later and it was still half full. Like, I just went and seen Civil War on a primetime Sunday night last week, and there's probably six of us in there. Six people.
Oh, dude, this morning I went and saw the Gentleman movie, and there was like less than that, maybe four of us in there.
It's gonna be a conversation next week. I'm gonna try to hold it for next week, because next week we're talking about top five theater experiences. But you guys can just answer yes or no. Do you guys think theater days numbers like that are limited?
In a way.
That's really an open-ended question, because if we don't have things like Deadpool and Avatar and other things, then yeah. I mean, what was the last big movie that... I guess Way of Water, was that the last big movie? And Top Gun Maverick, was that the last one where like swarms of people went and saw it?
Yeah.
Dune just happened. I mean, we got to ask you, Zach, really. Dune, how was the theater packed there?
I guess Dune would be the last one, because we went and saw it 6 o'clock at night, and it was 600 seat IMAX, completely sold out. So I guess that was the last one.
But yet, I mean, movies like that, they're already taken out of the theater. They're already on demand on Vudu.
It hits Blu-ray, here in about 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So.
That kind of puzzles me still. Like, who are the executives that think that? Like, there's not really any movie in theaters until May, really, right? Until The Planet of the Apes. Why not keep that in and just let it make as much money as possible?
We're going to talk about that next week, because I feel like, I mean, I guess the next big movie is The Fall Guy, the Ryan Gosling movie, but that's not going to bring in like loads of people.
And then
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
And then how is it that, you know, Dune hits Blu-ray in 2 weeks, but Kong and Godzilla is still in theaters with no Blu-ray release date yet?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Kung Fu Panda 4 is already out on digital, so. I don't know.
Let's go ahead and put the bow on the knot with True Lies. But before we guys do, you guys can give to the show. Help us out, donate, and you can help us out with some equipment, some giveaways, some movies. You guys can also donate and get back into what you donate by donating and appearing on the show. You can be a part of selections. You can be a part of choose what we pick. Just donate through the Cash App at Cinnamon405, or tag or scan that little QR looking code right there. And you know, what you put in goes into the show 100%. So help us out and be a part of the show, not just listen to it. So, but yeah, what about some favorite scenes? Jay, we'll start with you.
I like the whole strip scene dance. That right there is played for laughs. Yeah, it's played for laughs, but I still never got how he could sit there and have that tape recorder lined up to what he was supposed to say. You know what I mean? I always have trouble with that one scene, but I like it. It sets it shifts the tone of the movie from this guy trying to get his wife back to holy shit, the terrorists are coming in and they're going to kill everybody.
So So, Zach, what about you? You got a favorite scene?
The interrogation scene with Jamie Lee Curtis of her just kind of explaining how her life is boring. I like that. The horse chase, even as ridiculous as it is, it was fun. Yeah, those are probably my two. What about you?
If I had to pick some, it would be the scene where Tom Arnold comes over and uses the cigarettes as a camera and gets the coffee, and they have that little daughter conversation between him and Arnold going into the office. And then probably the scene where Arnold goes and test drives the car with Bill Paxton. And Bill Paxton kind of gives away his secrets while he's enjoying a hot dog. So I just thought the comedy aspect between those two were hilarious, and I enjoyed it a lot. So those are my favorite scenes. Let's talk star rating. 1 out of 5. Man, this was kind of a tough one for me to rate, especially with the new 5-star system. But I think I'm going to go 3.5. I'm going to go 3.5 stars on True Lies. So yeah, that's me. 3.5 stars. Zach, what about you?
I'm going to go, I'll go 2.5. Like 4.5. I said, I didn't hate this. I didn't love this. It's just kind of in that middle space for me.
Yeah. So. And you know, we're still kind of fishing around what is really good, what's great for this 5-star system. So I feel like 2.5 is probably the new version of it's fine.
It's exactly what it is. It's yeah. Fine.
A 2.5, not necessarily, you know, not terrible, not great, but it's fine. 3.5 for me. Jay, what about you?
4.
4 stars.
I grew up with this movie, and I love every inch of it.
And you guys realize this film was so. You guys realize this film was so successful that in last year that it had a CBS show, True Lies, a spinoff.
Yeah, really.
Which has nothing to do with the original show.
Tom Arnold's in it.
What? Oh, is it really? Is he really?
He's in it. Yeah, he's in it.
Oh wow. Okay. Is he playing the same character, or is he doing something different?
I'm not sure on that, but I know he's in it.
Wow.
Oh yeah, Arnie, retired Omega operative. So yeah, I guess he is playing the same thing. Wow.
And you said that was a CBS show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It ran for one season. Yep. So.
Interesting. That's gonna be fun, Jay. I can't wait. We're gonna talk some '90s movies in June. You know, this was a pretty fun conversation, I would say. And then the rest of May is pretty much
May is packed.
May is packed.
Let's go ahead and give everybody what May is gonna be looking like.
May is gonna be fun. Let's finish it off next week, though. It's the final episode of April. We are talking our top 5 movie theater moments, or just movie theater experiences, next Sunday, April 28th. So that should be a pretty fun conversation. We'll also talk about the state of a movie theater, and then some of our favorite moments in movies that we've seen on the big screen. So should be fun next Sunday night. And then we kick May off with the live show, Night of the Living Dead. That will be
Radio Cinema.
Friday, May the 3rd. You guys can watch that episode in person at Rodeo Cinema, or you can watch it right here live on Emiswa Productions YouTube channel, Facebook Live, or you can listen to the audio version still that Sunday, May the 5th on Cinco de Mayo. So that should be fun. And then Sunday, May the 12th, we talk.
Heck yeah.
The 25th anniversary of The Mummy. So, Brendan Fraser should be fun. We've been wanting to talk about this movie for quite a while. It's also returning to theaters that week.
First,
so
yeah, this Friday, I think, actually.
Oh, it starts this Friday?
So, yeah.
And then it runs all the way into May?
No, I think it's just like for this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Just this weekend?
Yeah, because next week, the first week of May, they're releasing Phantom Menace for its 25th anniversary.
Oh, okay. You going to go see The Mummy in theaters, Zach?
I might, yeah. Maybe a fun. I did see that in theater, so we'll talk about that.
And then May 19th, Dune Part 2 should be fun. I believe you'll be able to check it out on HBO Max, plus we'll be hitting on Blu-ray too, so we'll have a good conversation. We'll see if it's just as good as the original. And then is this sixth annual?
Yep.
Sixth or seventh annual? Sixth annual Memorial Day War episode movie, Sunday, May the 26th. We're talking Apocalypse Now. The great Francis Ford Coppola, also the man, Marlon Brando.
Some inside baseball. Me and Johnny were talking about like what we should do for the Memorial Day episode. I was like, well, we haven't done... I kind of thought of about Apocalypse Now, and he's like, oh, we're doing that, without even like thinking about it or nothing.
What did we do last year? We did the war movie that was on Netflix got nominated for Best Picture.
All Quiet on the Western Front, yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a snoozer.
Yeah, it wasn't...
And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if COVID happened or what, but it ended up just being me and Craig on that episode. And he just kind of skimmed through it. So it was kind of like it felt like a dull conversation. But yeah, last year was All Quiet on the Western Front. This year should be a little different. I can't wait. So
we're talking about a classic. So
yeah.
And we also got Ninja Turtles 1990 and Demolition Man coming soon too.
Yeah. And then I believe the first two episodes of June, I think I've already made the posters. Yeah, the first two episodes, Sunday, June the 2nd, will be the 20th anniversary of 51st Dates. And then episode 300 will be 300. Yeah. Sunday, June the 9th, episode 300. So it should be fun. So other than that, guys, man, what's that?
A lot of stuff going on.
A lot of stuff going on. In 2 weeks, man, two huge weeks. We're going to be going, again, on the road, on the theater to Rodeo Cinema. And that's the Sheridan. That's the Sheridan location.
Are we doing... Did we skip one? We're doing Revenge of the Sith, aren't we? The first Sunday in May?
No. We're doing... Yeah, I remember that had to change because we're doing a live Night of Living Dead.
So it's just going to be that show and then the next one will be The Mummy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to... Yeah, I don't think we could do two and a... It's a little too much, especially with a live event. We'll probably do Revenge of the Sith next year for its 20th anniversary. Yep. Or 25th anniversary.
Don't we have a bonus episode of The Crow coming up soon?
I think that's going to be a full-length film. We did The Crow in a bonus episode months, years and years ago. But I think when it hits its... I think, is it turning 20 or 25? 30?
30.
Because it came out in 94 as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think in September, because the 4K comes out in a few weeks, so for its anniversary...
Plus the newest one comes out as well.
Yeah, we're going to do that as an anniversary show.
Well, the remake was supposed to come out in June, but did it get pushed to September? Part of me thinks it got pushed to next year. Yeah. September, okay.
And then don't forget to join us this Thursday, April the 25th, for a live draft show. The NFL draft is this Thursday. And as the announcements get picked, as the teams pick their draft choices, we will be live recording with a draft reaction show live this Thursday. We also break down the AFC North and that division. This past Thursday, we had a pretty fun conversation. So join us this Thursday as we break down the NFL draft and the selection, who goes number one overall. So it should be fun this Thursday. Other than that, guys, I think that's it for us here on the movie side of things. Until next week when we talk our best theater experiences. Is there anything else we want to add to True Lies before we get out of here?
No, that's just a good movie.
Good movie. Go check it out. And then don't forget to email us your top five movie theater experiences as we will let you know our five next Sunday.
They will be read online, right?
yeah, if they send them in, we'll read them. We'll read them live on the show. So send in your five theater experiences, and we'll read them next Sunday on an all-new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Bye, guys.
Bye.